Sometimes when contact is made in such a emphatic but casual ways, Baba always took pains to make it appear natural, normal, just enough, so that sometimes we can even miss it, or some can miss it till afterwards it comes back to you. But you're talking about Simra reminds us when we were in Mussoorie, it's a hill station, not very far from Dehradun. And there was this time when Baba took us to Mussoorie, just a few of us. It was a lovely, lovely little cottage up on the hill. And the roses grow so profusely in Mussoorie that Amma's father was given charge of arranging this bungalow, this little cottage for us, because then Dehradun was very close to them. We were going from there. You just break a sprig of a rose bush with about 50 little yellow roses on it, and you just hung it up over a nail on the front door, you know, just like a decoration. We were enchanted. Then there's a fireplace, there are pine cones near it where we can room, and Baba and we, few girls are there, four of us. I think that time it was wrong. So how we acquired this pup over there. Now, we come up the hill. Our cottage is on top of the hill. But coming up the hill, because we used to go for long walks with Baba, so going up, we always had to pass by this other bungalow in which there were two English ladies who spent their lives there. So you call them Anglo-Indians, I believe. They were quite fair, and they were old, and there was Mrs. McLeod, and this is very important. Miss L. O. Cooper. So somehow they were so drawn to seeing Baba go by, you know, on our walks and all. We would find the younger one, that was Miss L. O. Cooper. Younger means not that old. It should be by the gate, you know, as if she casually happens to be there. And we could tell that she's probably been waiting there, wondering when are they coming. You know? Oh, hello! She was just a greeting, you know. And then, as we went by, if one of us looked back, you could see she was looking. Yeah. So sometimes when we used to go for walks alone, we would stop by the gate. It was all over the gate, and she said how my sister, Mrs. McCloy, as always, she's got arthritis and things. But even in the severe winter, she never goes out because she loves her dogs so much that she has to stay with them. Who would look after them? But she said, I have been a linen keeper, a housekeeper in the biggest hotel in Agra. And she was in. And she said, I've met so many famous people, she said, like the Aga Khan, yes, and Errol Flynn. And now we have Baba. Now, she's the one, Mrs. McCloy's doggy had given birth to a number of these Cocker Spaniels. She was kind of a Cocker Spaniel breed. And the one she kept, the last one she kept, she said, his name was Peter. Peter must have the best home husky. I will not part from Peter. Somehow she loved Peter. So one day, we came to know of it. Mara said, on the way for a walk, money, let's go and look at the puppy. I said, no, Mara. You know what happens when you look at a puppy? Anyhow, if we see a puppy, we're bound to bring it home. So either first make up your mind, do you want a puppy? Either, no, it's not that we're going to have a puppy. I said, that never works, Mary. Never works. We see a puppy and we bring it. Oh, come on. So over the gates, we again asked, and we went in onto the ground. And sure enough, we saw the puppy, and sure enough, we brought it home. That puppy's traveled everywhere for us. Peter, Baba, you've seen that in the stories and things like that. But the thing is that the real story that I'm trying to concentrate on and not wander off in too many alleys, when we left Mussoorie and we went back to Dehradun, After some time, this story happened that I'm telling you. We were sitting in this bungalow in Dehradun, this big hall, a rambling place, but it's a very lovely hall there. And Shiva, when she came there, she was stable there. And in the afternoon, we would sit around Baba and I would read aloud. And there was nobody, but nobody. Now, many Baba lovers were starting up and they were very, very keen to see Baba. But the order was that Baba would come to them or give them time, but they were not to just drop in any time. They never could and they didn't. So it was very quiet and I was reading out. And suddenly we heard a voice, "May I come in?" And there was Mrs. Cooper. And she always said that, she said, you know, the Indian, my the staff, the Indian staff, the girls who worked under me, they always called me by the initial. I always prefer to be called by the initial, L.O. Cooper. But they couldn't pronounce L.O. Cooper, so they always said Yellow Cooper. And I'm anything but yellow, you know. She had a lot of humor and things. And with that afternoon, when we were quietly sitting around Baba in Dehradun in the bungalow, she walks in, and Baba sits there, and we're all amazed. We don't know now what will happen, what to do, because are we supposed to, you know, allow her to come over? And Baba's smiling so graciously, so loving, and she comes and stands before Baba, not before any of us, and she puts out her hand. And Baba takes her hand and shakes it. And she sits down. Baba indicates, be seated. She sits down. And then we talk some. We talk about, ask about Mrs. McLeod. She answers, but her eyes are on Baba. Just constantly on Baba. And after it is all done, now she said, well, now I must be going. She gets up and she comes towards Baba with hand outstretched. Baba stands up. Stands up and gives his hand. And she shakes Baba's hand, and she doesn't let go. Takes his hand, she gently pulls it, and Baba allows it. You know, Baba's not resisting at all. She pulls his hand and places it over her own head and says, bless me, Baba. Oh. And her hand was there, Baba pressed his hand. You could see a little more. And that was the last we heard of her. She died not long after, a couple of months or so later. But to have the extraordinary good fortune and this extraordinary good sense to come and get this, she probably longed for it and she did something about it. She just came.
Out into yes. And she says, well, I've come to see my Baba. I've come for the spirit spectrum. Yeah, please wait. I will convey your message. So she comes in and conveys the message to Baba. And Baba, for some reason, ostensibly, he just lengthens the thing. Yes, yes, but what about this Rana? Have you done blah, blah, blah. He keeps on lengthening it so much that that poor woman is left standing on one leg as a trainer and then on the other, impatiently waiting to be called. She thought she would immediately be called. So it took a long time for Baba to send Rana back to her and said, all right, tell her to wait, I'll call her. So she goes and so at last Audrey Carter thinks, well, Mayor Baba sent this woman to say, I can come in. I'll be probably given the red carpet and the welcome and the... And she says, yes? And Rana said, please be seated, wait here. Mayor Baba knows you're here. He says, not to worry, he will call you. Another wife. What she said? She said, wherever I went, I've been to so many ashrams. I went down south, and I went to Calcutta, and I went to Trivandrum, and I went to Trivandrum. And I was given an immediate welcome, and I was taken in, and I was looked after, and I was everything. And here I made a stand, and even then, after all this time, to be told that I must be, please, I'll give you a message to Mary Brother. So she goes in and she gives the message to Baba. Baba, she's saying this, rah, 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 rah. And Baba says, go and tell her that all this, that you, wherever you were welcomed in, you were this thing, that was not for the highest of the high.
You have now come for the highest of the high. Is it too much to wait for her? That seemed to obviously calm her until she was totally calm. Baba didn't call her. Then suddenly, for no reason, Baba said, call her. So Rana went out and she came in. And of course, once she was in front of Baba, she melted him. But before, the second time when she had to wait, a third time when she had to wait, because afterwards she was called up to the veranda. And I told her, wait there. So there she was tanning, and poor Rana was feeling a bit embarrassed. She didn't know what to do, so she was talking with Audrey Carter, telling about Baba. In the meantime, what we saw was Peter, the cocker spaniel pup, that was now just about a few weeks older than when we got him. It was quite a little pup. For some reason, he was doing very funny things that day when the lady was talking with us. He found a ball of string, a very rough string that we use in India, choir string, that we use for tying everything, you know, from beddings, luggage, and anything. And he took the end of it, and he would run through her legs and come out, and that ball is unwinding and coming from her, do a figure eight, and before you knew it, he had tied it. Tied it? No! We're horrified. We're trying to draw Rano's attention, but we come out. We're trying to say, Peter, come here. Then, suddenly she realized, what is this? But afterwards, she was very, very much melted before Baba. Then she wanted to take pictures of Baba, a three-dimensional camera. We'd never heard of it. We were very excited. Oh, yes. And Baba, as usual, would go along, you know.
Fine.
Yes, sure. Would you want me to stand here? Really? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? So he posed first with the Kekobad. She wanted a picture with Kekobad. Then the women's side, he posed with us, and she would have this thing in her, and she would look very, you know, extraordinary. She would suddenly shoot out at you, and you know, hold that light, and run back. You know, it was, all we could do was not burst out laughing. And she took pictures, and she took pictures, and she took pictures. And then we waited for those pictures, because I mean, this is fantastic, three-dimensional pictures. Can you imagine? And then she looked back and she said, not a single picture came out. But Baba played it off. Sure, you understand? Yeah, this is what you want? Fine. Not a single picture came out. And for once, we would have liked it. We really were interested.